got underway, but Pacifica is broadcasting this, and we'll turn you over to Washington and the Pacifica Network.
So, first up, we have this report from Leslie Kagan, which we hope you enjoy.
I had a kind of torturous time with myself trying to figure out what to say. Do I say what I'm really thinking? Do I sugarcoat things? Do I make nice? Do I focus on all the good work that's happened or focus on the difficulties that we've run into? So I don't know what this is going to end up sounding like, probably a little bit of all of that. But as I sat down to think about what I wanted to say, I happened to have my calendar on the desk in front of me and noticed that next Friday is the one-year anniversary of the signing of the settlement agreement. And what a year it has been. I was at a forum in New York a few weeks ago, and somebody introduced me as having been the chair of the board for the last several years or something. It's felt like about 10 years. I pointed out that it was actually technically less than a year, even though it's felt like, very much more than that. And I think it is an appropriate time to take stock of what's happened in this last year. No, I am not going to review everything that's happened since the settlement agreement was signed. That's another matter, and I assume that Matthew Lazar is hard at work on that task. But I do think that we should all be reflecting on what this year has been, what we've done, and what we have yet to do. And as we look at ourselves and what's gone on, I think that it's very critical that we look at not only what's been accomplished, but also what there is still to do and what our strengths and our weaknesses are as we look at the problems and challenges ahead of us. To do this, though, in a way that makes sense, that isn't just gazing at our navels, I think we have to look at the context that we are in the country and in the world. And again, I'm not going to give a whole long speech about the state of the world, except to remind us that we are in probably one of, if not the most serious crisis in our lifetimes. People in Pacifica land, for the most part, have some handle on this or some understanding of it, largely or to some degree because of Pacifica. We are able to bring some news, some information, some insight, some challenge to the status quo. But there's a lot more that we don't know yet and that we haven't figured out how to teach ourselves and each other about. Suffice it to say, for purposes of this presentation right now, that we, I believe, have to look at the problems of the world, the crisis in the country and in the world, and that we have to figure out how to solve our internal problems in order to rise to the challenge. We fought, and I'm looking at who's at the table now. We fought to reclaim, and those of you in the room, we fought to reclaim Pacifica not just because we wanted to control a national organization with 5 radio stations. I believe we did it because we know that we have a role to play in terms of meeting the outside challenges and the crisis that the world we live in. That crisis has only gotten worse in this past year. And we are, I am sorry to say, very far from solving our own internal problems and therefore far from being able to really rise to the occasion and do the work that we really all know must be done. We have really only just barely started in this last year the process of rebuilding this organization. We are, for instance, not out of the woods financially. We have serious financial problems, although our listener donors have been extremely generous. Every single time we ask for money, somehow they find it and come up with it, and we applaud them for that and thank them for that. But we also know that we're not done asking for money. We are not out of financial woods. We're not drowning in debt, but we're not, you know, we're not sailing financially, in, you know, in calm waters either. So that's a serious problem. And without stabilizing our finances, that puts a burden on us that makes it much harder to do some of the other work that we know must be done to rebuild this organization. The bylaws, we know, right? We'll talk about that a lot more tomorrow. We're not done with that. To say nothing of the election process that we were mandated to put into place, that's not done yet. We have all that kind of internal structural work, the governance work, or redefining the governance that is still before us, and that we have made some real headway on. I think the process on the bylaws, through that process, we have made headway, but we are not yet done. And on the question of programming, on the question of what one hears when they tune in to any of our stations, we have made some progress in each of our stations in reexamining how the programming speaks to and is a reflection of the mission of Pacifica, but we have not gotten too far in that work. We've not gotten very far in that work. So I don't want to undermine or ignore the progress that has been made, but we haven't yet even figured out how to do a system-wide or a station-by-station evaluation and review and analysis of the programming that we do have and what kinds of changes we would like to see. We haven't even figured out who the we is that needs to be answering those questions in terms of the broader communities that we want to relate to, that we do relate to and want to relate to. Having said that we are really just at the beginning of this process of rebuilding Pacifica, I also need to acknowledge that everybody that I know at each of the five stations, be they paid staff or non-paid programmers, lab members, community activists in the national office, at the archives, wherever people fit into this organization, everybody is on overload. So I'm not suggesting that we haven't made as much progress as we would have liked because people are lazy and we're not doing the work. It's just that I think on some level we were not clear a year ago at the time of that settlement agreement how massive a task it was going to be to rebuild this organization, to bring it back from the brink of financial disaster and to get out of the swamp that we had inherited that have been created by the previous leadership, or at least the problems that had been made worse by the previous leadership. So having said that we are on overload, and I do think we need to be patient with each other as we demand that all these issues be dealt with. We need a greater degree of patience with each other. We also need to find the way to make decisions and then move on, to try and settle some things, get them in place, and move on. We've had a little bit of a problem on some areas of making decisions, getting ready to move on, and then saying, let's go back and revisit those decisions. And I think that has slowed us down. It has been demoralizing to some of us, and has slowed down the overall project of rebuilding the organization. And I also want to say, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow, on the bylaw stuff, I actually believe we're at the point where not having resolved where we are with the restructuring of the governance and not having new bylaws before us is hurting this organization. We need to find the way to make whatever compromises we can live with without compromising our own core principles and values. We need to be able to compromise in order to set these new bylaws into motion. It is hurting us, and not the least of which, it is taking energy that we need to do all these other things away from those other things. People are spending hours and hours in discussions and email exchanges I put it kindly, about bylaws, right? Instead of hours and hours finding new sources of money, or hours and hours going into thinking about creative new programming. Not that none of that is happening, but all that energy that's going into bylaws, we need to tap into that for some of the other parts of rebuilding this organization. And I want to mention one other thing in relation to this part. And I mentioned it back in June, and I was criticized in, I thought, a somewhat sexist manner in some emails about the way I did this. But I am so alarmed at how we disagree with each other and how our debates, how our internal struggles unfold. We have not learned how to express our real differences. I'm not suggesting that we hide our differences from each other or gloss them over, but we have not made a lot of progress in terms of finding ways to say, I disagree with you, and not have that come across as sounding as if I think you're a bad person. Because sometimes that's how it's posed. That's why it comes across that way. It was, I think, interesting when you think about where we were a little more than a year ago when we were struggling for control of Pacifica. We knew that we had to work together if we were going to win this fight. And that meant that even with our differences, we found ways to work together. It didn't mean we all liked each other. It didn't mean we all went to the movies together on Saturday night or whatever. But it meant that we learned how, that we knew how to work together. And I think we have to understand that the rebuilding of this organization is also a struggle, and that we have got to find the way to work together. We simply have to. We need all of the players in the mix. We do not have the leeway or the leisure or the possibility of saying this group of people cannot be involved in the rebuilding of Pacifica because I disagree with them or you disagree with me. We have got to do better, and I'm sorry, I wish I had a formula for how to do better or a recommendation for how we could do better, but we have got to do better in how we have our disagreements with each other, how we engage in those struggles with each other. And let me just add one other layer to that, and I know this may sound ridiculously naive in some way, but really in my core, you know, heart of hearts, I really believe we have much more in common than the disagreements that we are now seeing playing out would have one believe, right? That when you think about our differences with the powers that be out there, you know, and I'm not only talking about the warmongering Bush administration, right, with the powers that be in a more general way, there is, I believe, much more that unites us, that brings us into the need, that helps us, if we think about it, find the way to work together. There's much more out there that we have in common than that divides us. What has been dividing us are really relatively small internal details. I'm not saying the details are unimportant. We all know the devil is in the details. The details of how we govern ourselves is obviously a very important and a very political issue. But when you think about our differences around that compared to who's running the country, really we have a lot more in common than it might look like we do. So I really want to encourage us, again, I may sound a little Pollyannish or naive or whatever, but I really wanted to encourage us to think about the bigger context and what brings us to Pacifica, and why we have so much passion and energy and intensity. It's because of the world we live in and our, I believe, and our shared commitment to change that world. And that's why it's so important that we get it right about the rebuilding of Pacifica. So that's my kind of overview of where we are. We, of course, have some very immediate challenges. We have a challenge to get through this weekend in a civil way. We have a fairly thorough agenda to work on, and I believe everybody on this board has, you know, that we have learned a great deal about how to work more cooperatively as a board, and I think our interaction with those of you who come to the meetings has gotten better also. So we will, throughout the weekend again, allow opportunity for people to make their comments. It's important, I believe it's very important for us to hear what all of you have to say, what your questions and concerns and ideas are. But also, we again ask everybody to respect the need of this board to focus in on the work that we need to do when it's time in the agenda to cut off that general discussion and let the board speak. We hope you will respect us and let us move our work forward. I just want to wrap this up. It may sound like a strange place to end, but I was asked in an email the other day by somebody, I'm not even sure what city she was from, to just give a brief update on where we are with the Democracy Now! Contract, which, as we all know, has been a kind of controversial hot issue in this network. And I think it was raised for her because she saw the agenda that had been and that was posted on, you know, on the listservs, and she noticed that there was no reference to it on the agenda, and she wondered what was happening. So just very quickly, the reason it's not on the agenda is that there is still not yet a body of issues to discuss as a board. The board, I think everyone will recall, some time ago agreed to set up a committee of the board, five of us on the committee, to look for a new lawyer to work with us. We engaged one lawyer who gave us some preliminary feedback. The committee and other people on the board felt that it wasn't thorough enough, the work that he had done, so then it took some time to engage another lawyer. All of these things took, you know, weeks and, you know, much longer than any of us expected. We did engage another lawyer who did a much more thorough review of everything connected to the Democracy Now! Contract, and just about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, gave us an initial report. The committee that is set up has not even had time, you know, just because of the holiday weekend and everything else, has not had time to discuss among itself its sense of what the meaning of that report is and what we want to do with it. The next steps are for the committee to have a conference call meeting or an in-person meeting, if maybe even this weekend if we can get together, to talk about how we want to proceed with the information we got from the lawyer. Then that will be brought to the full board in terms of a set of recommendations for how to proceed. And then once that is agreed upon, we will proceed. So that's all I really can say right now. It's not as if the Democracy Now! Contract issue has been ignored or forgotten or deep-sixed or anything. It just, like many other things, has taken longer than any of us expected. So that's just one concrete update. I think that that's probably all I want to say, except, again, that this has been an incredibly challenging year. And as we wrap up this year, we need to think really carefully about how long it's going to take us to move out of this interim period and into the new phase of the new Pacifica. And that means really focusing in on trying to resolve these bylaws and get them into place. That's it.
Here at this particular point live to tell you that the Interim Pacifica National Board is now coming together to start the Saturday morning meeting, and you are listening to KPFA and KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, WBAI in New York, and WPFW in Washington, D.C.
Seeing that, please let me know.
Leslie.
Okay,
King.
So let's get going. We have on the agenda this morning the first order of business is actually Jabari had asked in the course of putting together this agenda for the meeting, Jabari had asked to include a time for a general discussion about where we're headed. in this work of rebuilding Pacifica. And there were several issues that he surfaced. I'm sure there are many, many others, too. We only really have about an hour for this conversation. This is not meant by any means to be a definitive, final conversation, but to surface, to put on the table concerns and ideas and thoughts that people have that hopefully will be taken up in future conversations as we go, as we proceed. But we thought, I thought it did make sense to spend a little time trying to air those at least and get the issues out on the table. Because we only have an hour for this and there could be a set of complex issues that raise, I really want to ask everybody to try and limit their comments. You know, to really get your most important or the issues that are of utmost importance in your thinking right now out on the table, and you know, perhaps not cover every single thing that's on your mind. When we are done with that, there were three people last night who graciously said that they would wait today to have their comments heard. So after we have this general discussion among the board, then we'll take those three comments that were left over from last night, and then move on to the Treasurer's Report and other financial matters that we need to discuss. So, Jabari, do you want to open up with some of your thoughts? Oh, I'm not sure. Is it Jabari? I'm sorry, this is your Treasurer's Report. Did you pass them out?
I did.
Everyone has one?
I don't know if everybody.
I need one. Did everybody get the report from Jabari, the Treasurer's Report? Okay, we're not discussing that yet.
Yeah.
We're having a general conversation. I just want to make sure everyone has all their material, though. Okay, thanks. Okay, Jabari, yes.
Jabari Zakiya, Washington,
I'm sorry,
D.C.
Before you start also, again, I just want to thank the stations that are broadcasting this live and the web sites that are doing the web streaming of this live. We very much appreciate all the help at the stations and also from the technical crew here with us in Washington who are helping to make these broadcasts and webcasts possible. And we are aware of the fact that we are broadcasting. I want to encourage people to identify themselves when they speak, which, of course, I didn't do. I'm Leslie Kagan from New York. So, Jabari.
Good morning. This is Jabari Zakiya from Washington, D.C. One of the things, after being on the board for a year, I think it's good that we kind of do a year in review, but also what I really want to put out is some ideas for whoever else is thinking about coming into Pacifica or working with Pacifica in any capacity, especially people who might be thinking about being on the board of directors. So one of the things that I think really needs to be discussed in the real, and to whatever extent it can be achieved, a consensus of at least generalized agreement on is within the foundation, what is the balance of power and focus and perspective between the local autonomy of stations and a national structure that operates the foundation from a national perspective and with a national allocation of resources. I think one of the things that it has been historically true is that the foundation has been basically the radio stations. Even though the foundation on paper isn't, it's called a foundation, we are not a foundation. We don't give scholarships and we don't award grants. So in from a titular point of view, the title doesn't in any way, shape, or form project what we really do. And that only can be done if we are to be a true foundation and give scholarships and things like that in the literary arts and so forth that you read about in the mission statement. We're going to have a whole different perspective on what the foundation is and how we operate. Under the mission statement, it says that we are to be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. to be nearly self-sustaining as possible means that we're going to have to go into some business activities or some revenue-generating activities that we haven't historically done or gone into, because I truly am very worried about our over-reliance and almost complete reliance on listener fund drives. I don't think we will not be able to expand as an organization solely based on listener fund drives. Also, programming. We talked about that yesterday a little bit, but there needs to be a real focus on the mission in all elements of the operations of the foundation. I'm really concerned that people are trying to overlay political and ideological issues and focuses that they personally have or their groups personally have with the mere fact that Pacifica as a foundation, as a nonprofit corporation, is really not set up to be a political proselytizer for any particular view, any particular party. You know, the mission statement says we are to be we are to operate solely for educational purposes, to be nearly self-sustaining as possible, and then to do certain things within the realm of broadcast radio activities. So my major concern, being in this position for nearly a year now, is that the focus has not really been on, you know, and a lot of this is just situational because of how we came in and just the troubles and the issues that we have just had to try to clean up and deal with as a board. And like Leslie said, we are all overtapped as individual people. But that needs to be put in consideration for the next group of people, because what I have been trying to do in all of my pronouncements is to bring us to a sense of reality that we can't do everything and we can't do it all today or tomorrow or in any kind of immediate time frame. So I want the people who are thinking about coming into these different positions and seeking the board, this board, the next national board, that I really want people to be grounded in reality based on the mission, and have some kind of sense of where we should go and where we can go with the resources that we have, and try to do it as efficiently as possible, and not overlay other things that may be associated with Pacifica, but really are not fundamental to Pacifica. And I think that's something that I really think people need to really focus on and keep in their mind as they try to move Pacifica forward versus any particular agenda or political concern.
Okay, thank you. Other comments or thoughts, Teresa? We're going to have the board discuss it first. We're going to take the three people who were left over from yesterday first. Yeah.
Jabari, I really do appreciate what you just said, especially the expression grounded in reality based upon some information that you just gave me this morning. I also am very concerned. One of the most valuable parts of the mission for me are what talks about dialogue and seeking sources of conflict. And it seems like when we have the dialogue, some people have gotten, in the course of the dialogue, they have used the dialogue to go for power and try to overpower people in the dialogue and then actually want to exclude other people from the dialogue. There seems to be a lot of posturing and lecturing. And I would just like to see more voices and help. I would like to see more dialogue, and I know it's very time-consuming, and the whole democratic process is time-consuming, but My concern is that a lot of people that are saying we want transparency and we want democracy, a lot of times I'm not seeing transparency and democracy. And the transparency issue is people saying we want transparency. We want you to expose everything so we can embarrass you. For somebody's own ends, they want transparency. And I would like to see transparency for an improved dialogue, so you can understand other people's points of view and hopefully come up with a better return for your time.
Other comments? Well, okay, Carol. Carol, and then George. Okay, George, and then Carol.
As Jabari, as Rob, as many of us have said, we need to have a dialogue about what the mission of the foundation, where we're going. And we have not had that. You know, we all, I believe, have...
Again, this is George Barnstone from Houston.
...thoughts on where we want the foundation to go. And it seems to me to be an element of the dysfunctionality of this board and this organization. Now we've not had that dialogue.
Carol, and then David.
Carol Spooner from Berkeley.
Well,
area.
The original articles of incorporation set out a statement of purposes for the foundation, which are cultural and political. And they emphasize that we're to carry out many things through radio broadcasting. So, and we have been radio broadcasting for 53 years and have grown from 1 to 5 stations over that period of time. And I think that... that throughout that 50 years, there's been an evolving but always grounded sense that Pacifica is dedicated to peace. Pacifica is dedicated to resistance to tyranny. Pacifica is dedicated to justice. In the 5 communities that we serve in our signal areas particularly, to bringing the voices of those communities to the air and helping those communities to find solidarity around those issues, to connect with other people who are concerned with those issues, and to build a sense of community around them. Each station has its own history and a unique local components or flavor to it or whatever, but I think that's always been a common agreement about what Pacifica was about. And over the last several years, perhaps as long as a decade, that vision and that commitment began to change. Gradually, moving from one station to another. And I don't know if we all understand, or if any of us understands or has all the pieces of the puzzle about why that happened. And I don't really want to go into it now, because we're trying to look ahead. But there's some things that I think we left behind that we need to have a discussion about reviving, reinvigorating, bringing new life to them in our radio broadcasting. At least have the discussion about what we want to do about them. And one of the things is that Pacifica, for most of its history, has not relied on paid programmers, paid producers. Most of our programming has been done over the 50 years that we've been doing it. by volunteers or unpaid workers. And in the early 90s, we began focusing on, we changed and started developing daily, highly produced programs at some of the stations, not all of them, and also on the national level. And at the national level, part of the impetus to do that was we began to get subcarrier money that could fund national programming. The subcarrier money is now diminishing because new technologies are coming in. So that was an income stream that was intended to jumpstart and help fund national programming in a big way. That income stream is going away. We have, at some of our stations, developed a fair amount of daily, highly produced programming, news magazine stuff, morning drive time programming. We have the station I'm most familiar with. We have flashpoints at KPFA, which came out of the first Gulf War and has been going since then, and is an extraordinary program and is, in fact, the highest fundraiser per hour at on an hourly basis at KPFA. So I'm looking at the expense of highly produced daily programs versus the relatively inexpensive production of not daily programs. Nobody can do a daily program without getting paid, because it's a full-time job. But if you're doing a weekly program or even a monthly program, you can do it. And there's so many people in our communities who have so much to offer that opening our doors up to them, bringing them in and getting them more of them on the air again, having closed the doors and lost many of them over the past decades, just seems to me to be one of the things that we can do right now, especially in our financial crisis, address the crying need throughout this country for public affairs, public information programming. As Leslie said last night, I think we're in the worst crisis that we've seen in this country in my lifetime. So that's one thing. I think if we're going to have national programming, we have to have a national source of income. And I think that's a question we have to address head on. Our local radio stations generate enough income to cover the programming that they're doing and their physical plant and their expenses, their broadcasting equipment. And there's so much that they've not been able to repair or keep in good order or replace or, you know, as we're going into new technology with digital stuff. They're holding things together with chewing gum and scotch tape around, trying to, partly because of the mismanagement of the last number of years, but now trying to help us bail us out from what we, the situation we find ourselves in. So we're taking 20% of the station income now, station listener support. And that comes nowhere near covering the needs, the expenses that are coming are generated at the national level, not including paying our accumulated debt. The accumulated debt is nowhere in this budget, and we're showing an $800,000 or $400,000 budget shortfall. So our stations can't do this. So what we need to do is, I think, in the short term, look for new revenue sources at the national level. I apologize for running on, but I think that that context is really important. We need a national stream of income if we're going to do national programming. Either that or we need to stop doing national programming and use our station resources and share them nationally around the network and do national programming that way.
Okay. David was nice.
Yeah, Dave Furtick, KPFK. I really appreciate the perspectives of Jabari and George, Teresa, Carol, everyone on the national board. I mean, it's vital that we have a long view and that we think down the road where we need to go and how to get there. We've had a lot of problems because, frankly, we're like a ship that was being driven onto the rocks, and we rescued it. We had a lot of people in the crew, all of us here are listener activists on all sides of this room, and we have all gotten together to try to rescue this ship, pull it off the rocks, fix the hull, fix the mast, you know, save the cargo that's gotten destroyed, and try to engage, get back into the, pardon the expression, commerce of promoting communication and promoting world peace, social and economic justice. But in order to do that, we got to make this craft work. And while I agree we need to circumnavigate the globe and we need to take this cargo throughout the globe and pick up cargo and share the resources of this extraordinary, most important entity in this extraordinary time that we're living in, we got to get this sucker floating first. And I think that we can talk about how we have inefficiencies of planning, sure. We can talk about how the programming needs to come from the community, of course. And we can talk about how we need to economize, which is probably the most urgent issue. But we need to recognize that we are really in repair mode. We're not in progress mode, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that while I agree with Jabari in the long term, we need to do scholarships. Hell, we can barely get this sucker floating. And I think that we need to look down the long road and see how we can get there. But before we can do that, we got to recognize two fundamental truths, and that is we are still very, very broken, both amongst our relationships, amongst our institutional staff and lab and community relations. And I think first and foremost, we got to recognize that we are an interim board. And we are here not to run the ship around the globe. We're here to make sure that the ship is available so that a proper crew can be selected, so that they can start making these broad policy decisions. I agree with a lot of the policy recommendations being made around this table. I think they're beautiful. And I hope that Jabari and Carol and Teresa and George and everyone else here is elected to the national board next time around, along with the many other wonderful people that have been involved. I won't be. I'm almost sorry about that. Almost. But I think we need to recognize that we are here to, as an interim board, set a stage, not conduct the play, to mix my metaphors. I apologize. So let's keep our eye on the short-term prize so that those that get the long-term can take care of business. Thank you.
If I could throw my two cents in on this.
Leslie Kagan.
Again, this is Leslie Kagan from New York. I appreciate the commitment and the desire to think about the long-term strategic thinking about where we need to go, where we want to go. And I certainly think that there is a place for that kind of discussion, a need for that kind of discussion. But I really do agree with the perspective that David just laid out, that we are charged with, that is we this interim board, not we all of the players in Pacifica, but we this interim board are called an interim board. We are an interim board. We are, by definition, a vehicle to get us, to help shepherd a process for the whole organization, to get the whole organization out of that past that we were in and ready for a future that we need to move into. And that there have been some very, very serious demands placed on us by what we inherited. The financial crisis, was real. We couldn't walk away from that. We couldn't pretend it didn't exist. We had to focus our immediate attention on that. And we're not out of the woods. It's not like we're rolling in dough here, folks. Far from it. Even though the listeners have been time and time again in this last year tremendously generous with their support. I have worried any number of times over the last year, are we about to hit with this next fund drive or special day of broadcasting donor fatigue? And those of you listening, I don't want to give you any ideas. Please keep that, those dollars coming. But the reality was that we were mandated as an interim board to deal with the situation we were given and to help shepherd a process of reviewing and revising the governance structure of this organization to do whatever we could, working with listeners, with producers, with staff people around the network to develop a democratic and transparent and accountable decision-making structure. And that, I think, has got to be maintained as our primary work as this interim board. Now, having said that, it's also true that the work we do today, whether we like it or not, sets the foundation for what will come tomorrow. So hopefully we're doing this work in a way where, you know, it's shaped by, or at least, you know, that we, some of the inputs into that come from our vision of the longer term sense of where we want to be going. And in that way, I do think it is important for us to have that kind of conversation of the longer term vision, but not to get too ahead of ourselves. But again, I think our primary job as an interim board has to be not only to have that kind of discussion among ourselves, but to help organize it throughout the network to make sure that within each station's community, that is the community of paid staff, the non-paid programmers, the people on the local boards, the listener activists, within that community, those kinds of discussions are happening. And that's where the leadership and the ideas about what the future of this organization are really going to come out of. I really do believe that, even though some people think I'm a Stalinist and run everything top down, I'm really not. I really do believe that the best ideas come from the broadest conversations and having the most inputs into them. And we have a complicated structure here with these five stations, a national office, the archives, and a national overlay on top of all that. And it's in all those arenas that these discussions need to be happening, and we need to you know, encourage the fullest discussion of all that. But I really, again, want us to complete our task and move out of this interim period as quickly as possible. So that's just some thoughts about this. And let me just also say, I actually don't think that we have been all that dysfunctional as a board or as an organization this last year. If you actually stop and think about the incredible amount of work that has happened, even though we are far from done with the bylaws, we're not out of the woods in terms of financial crisis, to call what has happened in this last year dysfunctional, I think is really an overstatement. This was a board that came together. Most of us didn't know each other. We didn't even know. It took several months to get everybody's contact information to share amongst ourselves. Given what we inherited, I think we've actually accomplished quite a bit. Not always perfectly, not always ideally, you know, in the smoothest fashion. But to call it dysfunction, I think, is to undermine a little bit of our own recent history and not quite accurate. Yes, Ray.
Ray LaForest from New York.
We did a very important discussion. I think that it would take probably a whole day at least of workshops and among all of us to sort out our priorities and we define ourselves. Obviously, some very important topics were touched on now. For me, what is vital is for the institution is recruiting the very communities that are mentioned in the Article of Incorporation, that indeed, instead of speaking for them, that they can be at the table to speak for themselves and fight for themselves. So to me, all the technical improvements and all the imaginative resources that can we bring to bear would be fairly meaningless unless the very people that they're supposed to address are part of this reconstruction. My own experience with rebuilding a union and seeing it relatively successful has been, and some of it was discussed yesterday by Dan, implied within the discussion that we had with Dan yesterday, and I've seen it firsthand. And to me, this is the kind of investment that pays off immediately. In this effort to rebuild a union, bringing the members, giving them a voice, Typically, the union, by the way, only 10% of the members read the newspaper. They can't relate to it. So the first way to increase participation is to have them read the paper. The way for them to read the paper is for them to write in it and to know that their issues are being covered. And in that particular experience, within a very surprisingly short period of time, we had a lot of expertise coming from the members. We were able to set up a database, all volunteers. And no matter how much money we could raise, our union at that point had 25,000 members. We could never hire as many organizers as we needed. And after a while, the members themselves became the organizers. So to me, I think we should really focus on making this mission real by bringing it to the people and let them build the future of Pacifica.
Are there other comments? I know the phone is ringing, but yes, Dick.
Let me firstly thank and
this
praise God we've all made it safely today. Let me say thanks to the interim board. I read about $600 worth of newspapers every 10 days, and I've known for a long time that money is not power and education is not power, but information is power. And if I've got a system that gives me bad information, then I have bad power. Sometimes we get too close to this station and believe that, you know, that everybody that need to hear us, hear us. I accidentally heard you one day. Well, I'm going to hear you. I'm just driving. I used to drink a lot of whiskey. I used to drink some of those whiskey. I'm surprised the government didn't declare me a beverage. That's when I was smoking four packs of cigarettes a day, a fifth of scotch every day, and on my way up to my top weight of 365 pounds. So I've been where y'all on your way. And I'm driving one day, and I hit this station by mistake. Huh? But I hit it after I'm in the ice, and I swerved, reaching for my bottle of whiskey, and missed this truck. Went off the road, the car flipped over, and some kind of way your station came off. Huh? Huh? Hey, I'm used to NBC, CBS, ABC. So all of us, I'm hearing this and think I've died and gone to heaven. That's my introduction to you.
Which way did you think you went?
I didn't know which way. But I'm like hearing stuff, and I'm, wait a minute. And now I stopped drinking. I stopped smoking. And I realized that you don't have to be too much to be this station in a cesspool of filth. Who are we competing with? What are you here? You got these thugs over here with a $1 trillion hustle. And you got little folks on the block. And in some kind of way, you know, we have to understand who we are. And in the process, there's a lot of internal stuff to go. My grandmother don't give a damn about that. All she wants to know is something she didn't know, that America is Saddam Hussein's best customer. We spend $6 billion a year dealing with oil. That's what she want to know. She don't get nothing about your internal this or internal that. And she was happy before she found it out. Because she really thought he was the enemy. And then all of a sudden, you open my head up and drop something on me. And then everybody said, well, it's about all. It's about, we got 70,000 cars in this country as we sit here now that runs on water. Okay? It takes the H out of the 2O and throw it back in the atmosphere. Now, I'm not stupid enough to believe I know that in the New York Times. Don't know it. In the Washington Post, don't know it. It's not about all. And so some kind of way, when we stop and think about who we are and what we mean to humanity, if I had my way, no meeting would ever be opened up in this country, from the church to the Senate to the Congress to the little homeless folks, without saying, we are now getting ready to function another day in the most racist, sexist, insane, ungodly, unspiritual system that's ever existed in the history of the planet. Now, for y'all to sit here and make like we can function without recognizing this, we crazy. And then once we recognize this, now where do we go from here? And you don't fight fire with fire. You don't fight hatred with hatred. You don't fight violence with violence. and the chemistry in this room. We can turn this around. Chemistry in this room. I've sit with Ku Klux Klanners. I sit with Filth, and the great part was sitting with them. There was no one on the Klan side that had a hidden agenda. You know, they said all niggas should be dead. You know. Then all at once I move out of that and I get into meetings where there's hidden agendas, and I say, "Wow, bring me back to the Klan." Because the Klan was right. The Klan said, "We let these niggas vote, they'll take over." And now today, they were right. The Mississippi had more black elected officials than any other state in America. The Klan was right. But somewhere, and so let me just say, you're a nut. I've been called that for so long. And then one day it dawned on me, he said, "Well, you know, a nut. Every time I see that strong oak tree over there, it came from a nut." Now, we got to decide, are we going to be this strong oak tree? And then there's a tree out in the forest that never got no sunlight. It just came up like we did, like this. Everybody was already in place when Pacifica went out. And this little tree started growing in the forest. It couldn't get no sunlight, and it couldn't get, so it looked ugly and fragile.